Ready? Woo. Two thumbs up. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast. We're here in Vince's basement this week. One, cool basement.
Thank you.
Two, butt couch.
Butt couch is here.
Butt couch is here. Three, Cade is calling in.
Yeah, welcome, Cade. Welcome to the podcast. If you look awkwardly towards the camera, it's because you're sitting right underneath it. So,
yeah.
I will say, actually, on that video, like on the subject of the video, I watched the video on Spotify when I listened this week. Nice touch. I liked it.
Thank you.
It was cool.
Thank you.
Good job, Vince.
We changed up the location a little bit this week because we're trying to figure out the details on how we want to do this. I am going to miss the giant TV backdrop. Like, that was... We got this weird empty space here. We got to figure out how to fill out. I'm thinking, and I last minute put up these posters as like we have to have something back there. And it kind of works well with the brown of the fireplace. But I'm thinking throw up some bookshelves in the corners there. Maybe do them at kind of an angle so it rounds out the room a little bit. And then just put a bunch of nerd stuff on the
So I was going to say, I've got stuff that I would, if we're going to be doing it regularly, I'd bring my little, you know, Troy and Abed in the morning.
Heck yeah.
What are they,
by the way?
The little, oh yes, thank you. Got the Greendale Community College sweater. Those little like figurines, you know, with the big eyes.
Funkos,
yeah.
I've got
the Troy and Abed Funko Pop. I've got one of Jordan Peele. Put all the stuff up.
Yeah, we
all the nerds.
Find a spot for
you. Have one of Jordan Peele too?
Yes. Jaleesa got it for me for my birthday this year, I think. I haven't had it for too long. I left this one in the little case because apparently that's what you're supposed to do.
You are supposed to do that.
The Troy and Abed ones are long gone.
That's a thing?
Yeah, you leave them in the case. Helps it retain its value.
I am proud to say I don't own a single Funko Pop.
And for the people who do like collect them, then it's like you can stack them all.
Right? Yeah, they're intense.
I'm also embarrassed to say I have too many Amiibos to count, which is the even nerdier version.
That's all right. I won't judge you too hard.
Okay, do you have a nerdy collector's item that everyone...
I don't have, like, a genuine collection item, but I've got a few things. Like, here up in the corner is Bold and Brash from SpongeBob. You've seen that. So I've got that artwork up there and just a couple other, like, little bits and bobs. Nothing like a collector or anything.
Well, Cade did tell me this week that for Christmas, his wife got him some plants to grow at his desk. Some very special plants.
Heck yeah.
Like mint and basil and stuff like that.
A large bag of green paprika. Green paprika. Yeah.
I was like, you moved to Texas, right? Not Colorado?
I've got some mushrooms that are going to help my workload just so much. No, I've got this little just like desk growing kit, mint and basil and oregano, legit oregano. But yeah, I'm excited to see how that goes.
I feel like it's
a cool little thing.
I feel like that's so dope. I was talking to him about this the other day. Just like you want to go make like a mojito or something like that, and you just go pick some fresh mint off your freaking desk, or just making whatever. And you just,
yeah, it's very in there.
That's crazy.
I tried to do a desk plant, and I suck at plants. So I was like, oh, you know what's cool? I'll get a bonsai tree. Turns out bonsai trees are like the hardest plant to keep alive out of any plants. That died very quickly. Waste of $100.
Jeez.
I'll move to mint.
Mint is next.
Mint is a weed, and it can live through practically anything.
And it smells incredible.
It does.
True.
I would bathe in mint if it didn't give me hives or rashes or bugs. I don't know.
Have you tried it?
No.
Maybe it won't.
It's just
a thought. I'm sure there's some sort of mint shampoo or something.
A mint bath bomb.
I like some menthol. Lotion. Everything should be menthol, I think. Like,
just smoke some cigarettes.
There
you go.
I got some menthol cough drops right here.
What's that smell? Let me smell.
You don't smoke.
Smells like old cardboard.
No, literally. If I were a smoker, which I don't smoke, but I would smoke menthols. I don't even care if they're a woman's cigarette, according to all the old school news stuff. I'm here for it. Old school advertising, Mad Men. Oh, menthol, women's cigarettes. I'm like, nope, I don't even care. They're great. I've smoked exactly 3 cigarettes in my life, and 2 of them were menthols.
There you go.
They tasted terrible, each one of them. But no, I guess it's just one of those weird things. Also,
I just shake my head and like, okay, because I don't know the first thing about a cigarette.
Yeah, they're all terrible.
I'm pretty naive.
Yeah, for those of you who smoke, good for you. I just think they taste awful. But yeah, we're here to chat about a movie, though. But I'm excited we have a guest. It's been a while since we had a guest on the podcast, so thanks, Cade.
When was the last time you came on?
Yeah, he came on a while ago. It was like 2020.
What was the movie?
Yeah, it was 2020. We did Iron Giant.
That's right.
I think that one, like, Josh and I also called in at some point.
Yeah.
Like, from his apartment.
Because that was during COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we were all doing
You it. Came in, though, into my house one time, right, when we were recording there?
Yeah, we did Joker, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Holy cow. We have been doing this a while, haven't we?
We've been doing this since 2019.
Every time you say that, I'm just like, oh, man, it doesn't seem like that long. And then we're like, oh, yeah, we did Joker with Cade at Casey's house that he doesn't even have anymore. Like
3 years ago.
Yeah, that I've sold and
exactly.
Since lived in a trailer. Now I'm renting a basement and expecting a child.
I'm just like, okay, it's been a while.
I heard about that, dude. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. Having a baby soon. Not going to give any other details because I don't want anyone to know. But yeah, people can know.
Is it?
It's a human baby? It's a ride.
It's actually not a human baby.
Okay.
It's a gremlin baby.
Said too much.
It comes in from space. Actually, I watched Megamind today. I want that blue baby.
Well, speaking of, we'll just do a super quick what you've been watching. What else have you been watching other than Megamind, Casey?
I watched Avatar, Way of Water.
Have you guys seen Avatar? I watched Avatar.
It's made $1 billion at the box office. Yeah. Actually, guys, I want to defend Avatar.
That's what we need because the people on the internet are pissed at us.
Really?
They hate us for not loving Avatar.
I mean, the one comment that we got.
All right,
on
I think
the,
we
got to
keep it kind of still spoiler free, though. Kate, have you seen Avatar yet?
I have not seen Smurfs 2. No,
I'm not gonna give any spoilers, but totally, Way of Water was one of the most beautiful films I've seen in the theater in a long time. Like, super honest, long runtime. There were times I felt like it was long, but I understand why it needed to be long. It's building the story in the world, and just to give perspective for everyone out there. You still have all the core characters that you had in the first film, but then there's some new characters which you're getting told the story of the planet through. That's not giving any spoilers, not telling anything crazy, but it makes sense. Like, I enjoyed it. Also, the water animals and monsters in this awesome. Like, I should probably do like the awesome, you know, but it's more or less just like I loved it.
I liked the people in this one more than I liked the jungle people.
Well,
their design with the like cool fins on them and stuff.
Yeah.
And their culture, having that like island culture, was freaking rad.
A wider tail. Like, that was interesting. Like, sorry, this will give a little bit off, I guess. But like, the people, they go to a different type of Na'vi, right? Like, and it's super cool. And they're like different. They have a different culture. And like, being from the west of the United States, like, we experience a little bit of the island culture. And so maybe it resounded for us better than for other people in a way, because we've been around people who are from Polynesia and stuff like that. And that's where he drew a lot of the comparisons from, right? And from Oceania and stuff like that. But I loved it. I like literally would go see it again, Vince. I would go. Like, we went and watched it in 3D. In at the Megaplex.
So did the 3D hold up pretty well?
Oh, the 3D was great. And I'm not even a huge fan of 3D. I loved it.
Was that
Dude,
real?
In the
I'm being
serious.
In the
last episode, when you were talking about 3D with like the Spy Kids 3D where it was like blue and red.
Yeah.
100% I did that. But it was so like weird to watch it in this like weird purple color because you've got the two different. So I do like newer 3D.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about once things settle down, like it's still, I looked on Tuesday because that's cheap night at this Megaplex here. It's still sold out showings.
Jeez.
At least that like 7 o'clock-ish show, like showtime, it's literally to the front row full
on
those cheap nights.
With that 3 hour and 10 minute runtime, 7 o'clock film is about the latest you want to go. Hold on here. Did you say Smurfs too, Cade? Like as in like the little blue people Smurfs?
Yes.
That's what
no, I did.
Don't shame Smurfs like that. Don't shame Smurfs like that.
Is it shaming, though? He's talking. If you like that movie, then it's a good thing, right?
But he's like comparing a masterpiece against a masterpiece here.
So that's both good, right?
Is it, though?
If you're comparing
most
a
people
bad
are
thing.
Shatting on Avatar, and you're over here like shatting on Smurfs. Also, I recently watched Trolls, the sing-along Trolls kids movie.
Uh-huh.
Dude, that just show is dark. I'll never be happy unless I eat a troll.
I don't know anything about this.
Nothing. What about Cade.
I got you. You have a child. I got you.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Anna Kendrick, Justin Timberlake.
I've seen too many kids movies to count. Yes, I have. But no, I don't. I was telling Josh, I'll see Avatar, but I'm not like hurrying to see it. Like you guys said, a lot of the showtimes right now are still showed out, even down here. And so I'm going to go with when I can take my little one and it's a little bit more like open and it's not something that I'm going to have to like, you know, deal with a lot of other people with. But yeah, no, I don't know. The first one, I don't really remember what happens very much other than the entire concept of like the Avatar. So yeah, I don't know. I'm walking, not running to see the second one.
I get that.
I don't blame you for it because I was doing the same. My friend took me. Shout out to Paul. He took me and it was very nice of him to take me and it was like a little man date. It was nice.
Cute.
Yeah.
Man date. I always think about two men on a date.
It's a mate.
You watch Community, haven't you?
The Office, actually.
Oh, is that The Office? Oh.
Yep.
I actually watched Emancipation with Will Smith, the movie that he did right after King Richard, right, like I think in between the slap. So I watched that and it was really interesting actually. It's very artsy. Like the entire movie is in black and white except for green. Like they show green everywhere, but otherwise everything else is in black and white. So it's very artsy. You can tell that they're really trying to like boost for the award season, but he does really well. It's a really hard watch just because, yeah, I mean, true events that happened to slaves, but I did like it. It was a good movie.
So I don't know. I haven't watched it yet and I'm doing the walking, not running to it because I'm having a hard time with Will Smith post slap, to be honest with you guys. Internet, hate on me if you want, but I am. But I did watch a video on the web about like the photo that kind of inspired the scarring on his back and stuff like that, where he's talking about it. And I was like, that's a very impressive thing to sit down and be like, to have be like this harsh reality, which, you know, so many of us try to shut and hide, to put it in the front of something so big and epic, like the brutality behind all of it. And it's like, good for them. And so I would like to see it, but I'm also like you, walking, not running to see this because I'm having some weird feelings about Will Smith. So that's it. But I'm glad you enjoyed it. And you, like, I love a good artsy film.
And I definitely had like my reservations with it too. And so that's why I was like, oh, I'll get through all the Christmas movies first. And then like when I get around to it, but more than anything, I think I was more curious about the story than Will Smith itself. And so that's why I got around to it.
See, you can separate the artist and the art.
I tried.
That's the way to say it.
Yeah, I was trying.
Well, I've been watching a few things. A couple days before Christmas, Cade and I fought through a million layers of Jeff Bezos security to try and FaceTime and like watch a movie that was available for rent, and you can't do it.
You can't beat him.
You both have to rent it. We tried a million different things.
Jeff Bezos. He beat us. We couldn't beat the final boss.
Jeff got us, man. What can I say? So we both ended up renting and watching A Violent Night.
Oh, nice.
A couple days before Christmas.
That's on POD? What is that what it's called?
What?
Paid on demand? It's whatever. VOD?
It was just on Prime.
VOD.
I got there eventually.
PPV, pay-per-view?
Yeah. We rented it on Prime.
Okay, cool.
And so, yeah. It's like still expensive renting, which is why we were trying to just do one of us and split the cost. But you know, I love to do like the little letterboxed, like one line reviews and stuff, right?
Didn't we start that as like summary in a tweet and then you've moved
summary
on
in
to
a
that?
Tweet and now it's
oh yeah
now we need Letterboxd to sponsor us, so you know,
Letterboxd sponsor us.
Obviously we got to turn it to Letterboxd one liners it's the new name of the segment. And I think mine was okay. I don't remember what it was exactly. It was like, oh, Santa Claus, but with like lens flares or something like that, because there was like a lot of lens flares in the movie.
Really? I didn't even notice.
Yeah. I don't, like, maybe it wasn't even that much, but just like every time there was one, I was like, holy cow, freaking again. Cade's one-line review for Violent Night, which I liked. One-liners galore. The violent Santa seems to be a combination of Scott Calvin, Bad Santa, and Die Hard's John McClane.
100% diehard.
It was fun. Like, it was like I said, it wasn't anything crazy. It was like a cool holiday movie. And you know, I love David Harbour. So I was into that. And yeah, it was just kind of like funny and all over the place. And, you know, not even subtly, just directly referencing Home Alone in a lot of ways throughout it. It was cool. I liked it. And I did kind of like, and Casey, this is maybe because you didn't see it, right?
No.
Right? It's not like, I mean, it's like maybe a little spoilery, but just I feel like this would almost, if anything, get Casey to watch it. Yeah. They give Santa like a Viking-esque like backstory, right?
Yeah.
Like, and he has like this whole like hammer and shit. Like, it's crazy.
So let me talk to you guys really quickly about that. That's really cool. And I love that. So the reason I really liked The Legend of the Guardians, that animated film that came out with Jack Frost a few
years ago.
With
the owl?
Yeah. No,
I think that's, they're similar names, but they're like two.
Rise of the Guardians.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. But it's got Jack Frost, it's got Russian Santa, he pulls up, right. He's got freaking tattoos, most badass Santa ever. So now you're telling me there's another legend on Santa.
I think this is going to take the place for most badass Santa ever.
Oh
yeah.
It's more badass than Santa versus the Martians and everything. Deep cut. No one knows.
Okay, nobody knows. I was awkwardly laughing there because I haven't seen it. No, I want to watch it now.
No, it's an old like 1950s or something like that.
No. I'm talking about this one. Oh, okay. Cool Santa.
I thought you were talking Santa versus the Martians. It's like you don't want to watch that one.
Sorry, no. I just want to watch Viking Santa now.
Yep. Violent Night is good.
Violent Night.
And then obviously the movie we're doing today. And then I watched Turning Red finally. And it was fun.
That one's good.
It was good. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, right? It's like
It gets kind of wild. Like
it's like anime almost.
Yeah,
but like Pixar the way anime.
Like because I get, you know, they do the whole like eye things or whatever, like, oh, it's so cute or stuff like that. But then it's just like, yeah, it gets like crazy at some parts. They like in just like these daydream scenarios, or even not daydream scenarios, they just like take you out of like not the medium, but just like you feel like you're in a situation and it pulls you out of it to do this big, like, oh, feel what we want you to feel right now. And I was like, okay. It wasn't bad. It was good. Like, I liked it, but I'm going to give it 3 stars on Letterboxd. But.
Ooh.
I don't remember what I got it, but I remember it wasn't my favorite Pixar either. I liked it. People loved it.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot.
I expected to like it a lot more.
I've watched it a couple of times. I think it's quite fun, but I know that it's not quite geared or catered towards me.
Yeah.
You're not a 14-year-old girl going through puberty.
The essence of pubescence has already hit me, so I don't really need to worry about it. But I did watch Battle Angel Alita again, and I felt all those vibes. So I think there's some similarities there, a little bit of that
the anime
influence.
And remember, back to the Avatar conversation, remember a lot of the like technology to make that CGI was pulled from what they learned through Avatar?
Right.
Yes.
James Cameron.
So
he's a leader.
Though we've got the second Avatar, they can use the second Avatar to make the second Alita.
There you go.
What we've been waiting for.
I've been trying to figure out how I could buy like 50 old phones and just play Battle Angel Alita on repeat so much like that it gets like a lot of hits. So they create and release a second one.
Perfect.
I'll support you in doing this. I will not accompany you.
I think we're just bits. What have you been watching?
You been watching?
So the only thing that pops into mind is I saw Spirited, the Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell?
Yeah, yes. So good.
Right? Yeah, forgot his name for a second. Yeah, the Christmas movie, take on Christmas Carol. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's a fun musical. I thought it was interesting the way they shot it. Like a lot of it made this like weird transitions a lot of the time from like a regular movie, how they shoot a regular movie, to how they would shoot like an actual musical on stage. So like pretty much you'd be in the middle of this like story and then it would cut to this musical and they would like jump up on a table and you watch it and you'd be like, oh, I can totally see how they would do this if they did this on Broadway or something. Kept cutting back and forth to that kind of stuff. I really expected it just to be the same as all the other Christmas Carol movies that we've seen in the past, Muppet Christmas Carol, Scrooge, all those kind of things. But they took their own little twist with it that was entertaining, and I liked it, and I absolutely love Will Ferrell, and I actually really liked Deadpool in this one, too. So whatever his real name is.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Was it more than a Christmas morning feeling for you, Vince? Did it make you want to tap dance on tables?
No, I'm not. I'm not really a tap dancer or a singing dance man. I feel like maybe secretly
you were upstairs just enjoying it, tapping along, humming a little bit, singing.
It might have helped that I watched it with my family on Christmas. Or maybe Christmas Eve. I think it's Christmas Eve. So maybe it was like watching it in a group and they were all into it. We were all having a good time. People were doing puzzles. We ate too much food. We were kind of in that like weird Christmassy buzz. Yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was
you
a lot of fun.
Buzzed on Christmas.
Yeah, all that Christmas spirit just like, whoa.
I love the Christmas spirits.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was good, though. And then, not to really to go into it, but I read the sequel to Nightmare Before Christmas. They came out with a book. It's called The Pumpkin Queen. Mm. I gave it to my niece for Christmas and decided to read it before I gave it to her because that's what you do with Christmas presents, right?
Smart.
You use it before you give it away. That's what I learned from my dad when he gave me a Nintendo 64 when I was a kid, and there was a saved file on the James Bond game. So,
go, Dad!
So I read through that, and I was like, I didn't love this. I got to rewatch the old one or the movie because I haven't watched that in years and years. And that is a fantastic, fantastic movie that holds up to this day. Love
very
it.
Good.
That's about it. Nice. I mean, other than all the whatever random crap I watch.
The White Lotus. That's the only other thing I have to say. I finished The White Lotus. Cade loves The White Lotus.
It's so good.
I love The
it?
White Lotus. Vince loves The White, Lotus. White Lotus.
I haven't watched White Lotus.
Casey, well, and I
I did finish The Boys, though, today.
That's Ooh, right. You texted us about that, one. And I didn't reply because I wanted to bring it up here.
Oh. It was so good.
Yeah, I can.
Also, the snake penises. I just can't get over them. Like, I don't know if you guys have, like, anyone seen The Boys. It's, like, following along with this. But, like, so The Boys is based off of a hero universe where the heroes are actually flawed and bad and crazy. And I didn't know that I was going to like it as much as I have, but I love it. There's a team that's trying to take down the heroes, and there's a team of heroes that's trying to...
Did you finish season three?
I finished the most recent season, the one with...
Okay, I think that's season three.
With
Soldier Boy?
Soldier Boy.
What did you think? Did you like it as much as the other two?
I did. And here's why I liked it. I felt like it was a little bit grittier, kind of darker storyline of kind of like the betrayal within the superhero worlds.
I'm about to say, don't go too crazy.
Sorry, I was
I still gotta watch.
I was like, going a little bit. I'm not gonna give too much away, but it's just kind of like, it's like an onion, maybe even a glass onion.
Look at that transition! Wow, 3 years paying off. We finally got one good transition in.
But yeah, so speaking of onions, we want to talk about a glass onion.
Speaking of onions, we're going to go into today's movie, which is Shrek.
Shrek 2.
Shrek,
yes. Shrek 2, actually, guys.
You can save that transition for when you do Shrek.
If you guys ever make me do Shrek, I will be so disappointed. I don't want to watch that series ever again. I'm the one person in the world our age who never liked Shrek.
Really?
Shrek is,
my hot take.
Is phenomenal.
Who hurt you as Shrek a child?
Shrek is like the Deadpool of princess stories and stuff like that. It's like the meta jokey version of all of it.
Shrek is love, Shrek is life.
Please no.
there's a religion based on Shrek, actually.
Oh gosh, there is.
There is a whole community of folks who have dedicated their life to following the tenets of Shrek, which is to get yourself out there, to wear a mask at times when you shouldn't show your face, to save the princess or, you know, do a good deed even though it's unknown, to openly fart and burp whenever you feel contented to, and also to talk to an ass whenever you feel like it. And this religion has about 5,000 followers. And I am their leader.
This
is the Instagram handle?
This is the Instagram handle called Shrek Group, not a cult. And the subtitle is No Shrek Feet Allowed. People really get into wearing Shrek feet to our meetings. It's kind of weird. They 3D print them. They're like Hulk hands, but Shrek feet.
You just pulled this whole thing out.
Remember how we had this perfect transition into Glass Onion, and then we just went off on Shrek for 20 minutes?
But let's talk Glass Onion.
Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery.
Yeah, I got some movie info. We can jump right into that. So,
First off, the director did not want it to be a Knives Out mystery attached to the thing.
Yeah.
He just wanted it to be a Glass Onion.
Apparently, he was talking with The Atlantic.
This is Ryan Johnson,
said,
right?
Yep, he was frustrated over having a Knives Out mystery added to the film's title for marketing, which was added for marketing purposes. He says, honestly, I'm pissed off that we have a Knives Out mystery in the title. You know, I wanted to just be called Glass Onion. I get it, and I want everyone who liked the first movie to know that this is the next in the series, but also the whole appeal to me is that it's a new novel off the shelf every time. Is as if it's a new novel off the shelf every time, so they're not connected other than the one character. I read a little fun fact that he said he toyed with the idea of changing the accent of Daniel Craig's character, and he was thinking he would change the accent in every movie just to do it.
And not even explain it. Yeah, not even explain it.
Just do it.
It would have been nuts.
I kind of would have loved that, but also I kind of love this accent, so I'm not really disappointed.
I do like it, but could you imagine, like, the people who are really good with accents, they're just like, what the is going on here? Just like, why does he have this accent when it was different last time?
Yeah.
Sorry, movie info.
Yeah, so directed by Rian Johnson, written by Rian Johnson. Movie came out on December 23rd, 2022 on Netflix. It also had a little bit of a theater run in a very select amount of theaters, just because Rian Johnson really, really wanted it to play in theaters, and it was part of the deal that Netflix made in buying the franchise, the series. I think there is two more, at least one more, Knives Out movies that he has made a deal for with Netflix, so they will come out on there.
Nice.
Estimated budget was $40 million. We'll never know what it actually made because it's on Netflix, so who knows?
Jeez, $40 million. Like, with that cast and everything, that's kind of crazy. That's really, like, that's not expensive.
No, and it's a huge cast, too, star-studded. But yeah. not a big cast, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, critics 94% like it, and audience 93% like it. IMDb gave it a 7.3 out of 10, and Letterboxd is at a 3.8 out of 5. So very, very well-received movie, and I absolutely loved it. But I will let one of you guys talk before I keep ranting.
No, I liked it. I did. I think I rated it 3.5 stars on Letterboxd. I think that there were a lot of really good things about it because there were a lot of Easter eggs that made sense if you've seen the first movie, but then a lot of ones that made sense that were just kind of like placed here and there. Like Glass Onion refers to the Beatles song from the White Album called Glass Onion, and the entire song is literally just the Beatles like talking about the myths, like Paul is dead and like all of these other things. And so it's all just kind of about like the secrecy within that. And so I like that little nod. And I really liked how the actors played with each other, like, and worked with each other. It felt like there was a lot of good chemistry there. I honestly really liked Edward Norton as like the Elon Musk character. I thought that was really good. And Janelle Monáe was beautiful and did an amazing job. I will say the like last third of the, well, maybe the last like fourth of the movie, just the last little bit, pretty much when they start like unveiling it, I thought it kind of went off on its own. But for the most part, I really liked it.
I kind of agree with Cade because I think I gave it like 3 stars on Rotten Tomatoes and I liked it and I thought it was really good. I also really liked the characters. I love so many of these actors, right? Like I love Dave Bautista. I love Janelle Monáe and I really liked what they were doing with it. I honestly also, we're in spoiler territory already, right?
We haven't said it, cool? But spoilers, sure. Spoilers, spoilers.
Spoilers. I really liked like the twist in the middle of the movie, right? Where you cut to know, oh, hey, Benoit Blanc didn't get a box, you know, Andy is already dead. And her twin sister is actually going to try and solve this mystery, right? Because it really sets it up so nicely to be like, you think it's just going to be so straightforward, right? Oh, we're going to go to his island. We're going to have a murder mystery where he's dead. Oh, no, he's going to actually be dead and he's going to solve the case. So I did like that they twisted it and actually made it about something else. I really enjoyed that. And it was very cool. I also agreed that like as they go about unraveling it, it definitely felt like, I don't know, it didn't feel super satisfying to me. Like, watching the movie with the characters was really cool. And I definitely didn't, like, call it or anything. I wasn't like, oh, yeah, I know this happened and this happened and stuff. I didn't do that. But when you don't know that is when it's supposed to be so exciting, right? When you get a reveal that's so crazy and you're like, oh my gosh, like you watch The Prestige or something else like that. And if you don't know and that hits, you're just like, that's so insane. I didn't know. And I was just like, yeah, okay. Like, that's nice. Like, I guess. Like,
I think I agree with you. Cool. I think that the appeal to this movie isn't the big reveal. It's the way that they get there. I loved it because I suck at these kind of movies. I think I said this when we did, I think we did a Knives Out episode, I think I said the same thing. Like, I cannot, for the life of me, solve these mysteries before the end of the movie in any of them. This one's no exception. And going into this one, I just decided, I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to enjoy the ride. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to watch what happens. I'm going to enjoy these characters. And I had a great time with it.
You just embraced it. You're like, a warm friend.
Mm-hmm. And about an hour into it, when no one had died yet, I was like, what am I watching? Like, I thought this was a murder mystery.
Kill some people.
And it's been an hour and freaking Fight Club's still alive. You know,
Fight Club.
I 100% thought that it was going to be Edward Norton that was going to die, because that's what everything, like you said, was leading up to. That's how they marketed it. You know, it's just like, it's going to be a murder mystery, but it's a real murder. And I loved the twist to it. Like, it surprised me. Like you said, I love watching all these characters, these actors. Bautista, like we were saying, I think it was last week, like, I love him not as Drax. I think he's fantastic in all these other movies where he gets to do something that's not, that's within his capabilities, you know? And I don't know. I just thought it was a lot of fun.
I'm going to go in the same vein. I thought it was a lot of fun. I felt like it was a long film, but I also felt like it was doing a lot of kind of world setting the scene type thing. And I really liked that part of it. I also want to agree really quick with Bautista. And Ryan Johnson said that Bautista is the greatest wrestler turned actor of all time.
Better than The Rock?
Yes. So much better than The Rock. I want to say it. I think he really is. Like, not only, I know that he's kind of weird and goofy at times in Drax. I love Drax. I know that he's done some other stuff, which is good. But I think this was one of his best films. And in all honesty, like, it was fun. I really love Daniel Craig. I love the outfit, the attention to detail in so much of this. Like, Chris, not Pine, what's his name? Chris Evans' sweater. You know, everyone's talking about the fashion and the love for Chris Evans' sweater from the first one. Yeah, all the outfits in this one,
are they all
going to
be talking about the Bautista's little Speedo? His gun pack and Speedo?
I'm pretty sure on my next vacation, I'm going to walk onto the cruise ship in Kate Hudson's dress that she was wearing.
Oh, dang. Kate Hudson.
That was good.
She can get it in this film. Like, she was woo-hoo-hoo in all aspects of it.
She was so, like, dumb, though.
I know, but I think
it's like the character's supposed to be, right? Like,
we all need that dumb friend. She was there for it.
Birdie J, right?
Yeah.
Birdie.
Okay, I also did love, and I have to, like, throw out, I love how, you know, it's obviously not planned that Benoit Blanc's going to be there, and then he is, right? And so the murder mystery that was planned before it even happens, he just knows.
Just, like, knocks it out in, like,
30
seconds.
He does the whole thing, and not only is, you know, the guy, he's like, oh my gosh. Beforehand, he was like, I didn't know you were going to be here, but, like, this is so cool. Like, you're here, and you're going to be a part of my murder mystery. This is so cool. And then the second that he just, like, destroys it, he's like, this guy,
my
man.
Whole weekend is ruined.
He's like, okay, honestly, though, like, I really want to know how that would have played out if he didn't show up, though, because would they have just played the game and, like, been happy because they were, like, celebrating the fact that they got the red letter? I thought that was a little weird, too. Like, was he actually planning to do that the entire weekend?
I think so. I think that was his plan, was just to party with his buddies. I don't think he was ever going to tell anybody that. Well, maybe. Was he going to share with them that he got the note?
I think so, probably, because they all knew about it, right? They all got the email.
And they all went over to her house, and she wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm sure that they probably were, like, planning something like that. But they did also kind of have their little things, right? The whole, they about to see someone get on Alpha News and all this other stuff. So there's still a lot of little things that would have happened. And also, what would have happened if, I forget what her name is, Helen, who's not Andy, right? Mm-hmm. And their twist is, right, Helen. So if she had or hadn't gone without Benoit Blanc, how that would have played out.
That would have been interesting to think about. I didn't think about that.
So I'm unsure, but
I honestly really liked it because I think for the same reason why I like White Lotus is because the writing does a really good job of telling multiple people's like stories at the same time and how they weave in and out of each other. So like at first you see David Batista, I think her name is Whiskey, like the girlfriend like having sex with Fight Club, and you think for like, oh, like, you know, she's cheating, but in actuality, like Batista is telling her to do it so that he can get the benefit. Like just learning how all of their lives and plans like intertwine without each other. I really like that aspect. And I think that that portion of the writing was
basically the reason that we watched Glass Onion was so that we could talk about the White Lotus and get
and I was going to talk about Shrek and the complexity of the storytelling here with talking about how like some folks just want a very simple life. They want to go to, you know, their space, this private island, and just enjoy their weekend. Or they're invited to go on a quest to save the princess, you know, to find out who murdered whom.
And, how long are we going to let this run? Yeah.
But no,
until he's out of gas.
Yeah, there's no stopping this meter. No, but really quickly, I think it'd be interesting now that you guys have brought up to see the White Lotus and see the comparisons, obviously. But I do love kind of what you brought up, like the depths of how these guys are all friends, but they're all kind of backstabbing each other. Like, that's a weird thing to me. Like, you know, and then they talk about the story of how they all kind of meet and kind of get in together, and like how Andy is kind of like the, I don't know what you want to call her, the mover and the shaker within the group, actually.
The one brings who brings them all together. Yeah. Like the centerpiece.
And how without Andy, how so many of them came to Andy's defense in a way when, you know, they got the email, the printout, not the email, the fax. Sorry, the guy doesn't have phones. He just faxes. I don't know.
Were they coming to her defense, or were they coming to? Because remember that they get called out for that. Like, were you going over there, and would you have taken her aside if you got there, or were you going there in order to stop her? And because like, Miles, right? Miles Braun, I think his name is Edward Norton's character. He had like dirt on all of them.
Yeah,
and they refused to even give her up until the very, very end of the movie.
Well, that's what I'm curious about. I was like, what was it going to actually be? Because in the moment, it could have been completely different. Like, oh man, like what's going on?
It felt very. We just did an episode on the menu not that long ago, and the end of it, like without getting too spoiler heavy into the menu, the end of it kind of felt very similar to the end of the menu. Burn it all down, and just like as it goes down, you know, smoke a cigar in the smokeless garden, you know, just
it
like
pained me. Watch though, it all go. It pains me to see that happen. Like, I'm not giving away the spoiler to the end of this movie, but it pained me to see that what was burnt. Ugh.
Okay.
I love fine art. What can I say?
Are you talking
about
that's
why you love Shrek so much?
Yeah.
Shrek.
Are you talking about watching that giant picture of Edward Norton without a shirt on burning in the background?
Yeah, that was the issue. All those self-portraits of Edward Norton, I can see the Fight Club-ness in him still to that moment.
Okay. 1 out of 10, rate how awesome or terrible a vacation would be on this island. If you went and it was like,
I had to stay at the house?
And like your buddies or whoever you'd go on vacation with, you go to this island and you're like on vacation there for like a week or something.
Oh, if I could take Vince?
Am I there concurrently, like with all of this drama? Or is it like separate?
Yeah, that's my question.
Let's say you survive, but sure.
We're just the friend in the background wandering like, around the whole time. All right, we are.
At least you have
dude,
a couple
that
days.
That was so funny.
Oh, true.
Yeah, the friend in the background. That's who I want to be during this whole thing. I just want to point that out.
Wasn't he a nice touch? Like, imagine what Edward Norton is doing like on his off time when no one else is around, like pretending to be this big like tech genius, but really he's just like getting high with his freaking buddy in the back room, like this, who just wanders around and tells him to hide whenever someone important comes around.
Yeah, I just love that he's like, oh, he's my friend. He's just going through something right now. He's just staying here on the side.
Well, and like you would see like times like where he would just like sneak in the back like with a bag of chips or something like that and be like, I'm not here or something like that. I cracked
ignore
me,
up. Ignore
and then at the yeah exactly and then at the end when like he is smoking a cigar when it's all like burning his friends there too, like hell yeah dude.
Yeah. So to play back into your question, I would want to be the friend on the island the whole time. On a scale of 1 to 10, if I was that guy, my enjoyment level will be like a 9 watching everyone else's drama.
Very nice.
It would be fun to be there, but, you know, he made him turn off all the phones. Like, you left. I mean, maybe didn't make them because I guess Batista still had his. Yeah. I don't know. It could get kind of boring. I'm more of a mountain person than a beach person, personally. An hour or two on the beach is great. I don't know if I'd want 3 days on a beach, but that's just me.
True. I think I'd like it. Like, imagine, so for me, originally when I was thinking about it, I guess I was kind of just thinking about just staying there. But if we go, like, you know, you're there during all of this happening, I don't know. Maybe that brings it down a bit. I was going to say, like, an 8 or a 9, like, you're on this private island by yourself. Can you imagine if it wasn't exactly like that, and that room, his, like, office or whatever, with that crazy, like, because you got the glass onion, right? And then in the top of the glass onion, you have that super cool-looking, like, hexadiagonal thing that you can, it looks like you can see forever into. Like, could you imagine, like, staying in that room as your room? That would be, like, I think that would look dope.
It would be dope.
That'd be sweet. Very dope. Sorry, I was just, like, that that's
pool,
what I was thinking.
The pool was nice, too. It cracked me up because they were on the beach, but, like, they were swimming in the pool most of the time. Mm-hmm. And the like Banksy dock, I thought was like, obviously they like talk about how it's like a piece of shit, but like it looks cool.
Yeah.
That brings me to my first topic. If you guys want to go through it, cameos and name drops. I wrote down as many as I could find.
I'm ready. Banksy.
First off, Banksy at the dock. We'll start with name drops.
Okay.
So I forgot to write Banksy down. So glad you brought that one up. Number two, Jared Leto's kombucha.
Oh, yes.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Hard kombucha by Jared Leto.
Three, Jeremy Renner's hot sauce plays a good role towards the end of the movie.
Yes. It gets so close.
I kind of want to try that hot sauce now. Don't want to try the kombucha. Number four, I think, Gillian Flynn.
Oh, the writer.
She's the writer who supposedly wrote his murder mystery. She wrote Gone Girl.
Yep.
And another movie I can't think of.
Girl on the Train.
Girl on the Train, is that what it is?
Yep. Okay.
And then the last name drop is Philip Glass, who is a composer. And he's the one who's like, I played Philip Glass to compose the gong that they did. Which brings me to my first cameo. Go ahead. You know it?
Sorry. I was going to say it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he cameos in all of Rian Johnson's movies. Literally, if you look it up on IMDb, his credit is Hourly Dong, which I love.
Hey, man. Joseph Gordon-Levitt could be my Hourly Dong anytime.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. We'll cut it out.
No, I'm staying there.
Nope. That's going in there forever.
All right. It's part of history now.
Oh, wow. How much do you think that Jared Leto got paid for that? I mean, to walk in and just go gong, and then they tweaked it. Yeah,
probably like $50,000 a gong,
maybe. Or do you think he just walked in and was just like, "I'll do it"?
He probably just did it, and then Rian Johnson was probably like, "Here, take some money." Like,
yeah.
That's another thing that happened. Ethan Hawke, he cameos.
Oh,
in the movie.
He's at the very first of the movie. He's the one spraying them in the mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah,
just showed up on set. He was in town and decided to come to set, and was just like, "Oh yeah, I'll do this random role." So they put him in the movie. he was doing the Marvel movie, Moon Knight. And it was just in town when they were doing it. So he came to hang out and decided to do a part.
That's cool. So actually, cool. I thought he was going to weirdly have a bigger presence in the show after that moment. I was like,
it's a big name.
Because he's huge and he's like a good actor. And then he's just like...
He gave you magical...
Gone.
You can't get COVID now spray in order to avoid talking about masks for the rest of the movie.
There was no explanation. It was just, here's this dust. All right, you're good now. Like, don't even question it.
God, I wish I could transition into my next topic because that would be perfect right there, which is the mask scene.
Oh.
But I got a couple other cameos to throw in, and then we can jump over to that. Okay,
real quick. Ready.
So Hugh Grant shows up as Blanc's boyfriend at his
apartment. Loved this. Yes. Hugh Grant, because I watched Love Actually again, and he's like the
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister, thank you. He's the dancing man, the Prime Minister, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. Actually, so I was really excited about that.
Awesome. The Zoom call is the last thing. Oh, and Serena Williams shows up in the gym.
Oh, that was good.
Right. I was like, what is this?
Sorry,
like,
I kind of threw that away as, oh, yeah, and Serena Williams was there. Serena Williams was in this movie.
Well, like, because it looked so real, and I was like, oh, geez. Like, and I was, like, kind of wondering. I'm like, why did they just get Serena Williams to do, like, a picture for this, like, random gym? Obviously, that guy's famous and stuff, but I was like, why'd they do this?
I thought it was an AI, like, at first. Like, I was like, oh, it's, like, an AI computer.
What if it was, though? Like...
No.
Because I know Magic Gas. I know that obviously they got her to do, you know, the actual part, and she's like, I'm on the clock for an hour or something, but like, what if it is an AI though? Like, you think you have Serena Williams, but she's really just
so the inventor guy, Fight Club guy, he creates an AI on his fax machine the night Serena Williams AI sends it to this guy, the smart guy. 3 a.m, he's like, okay, I can create that. Sure.
Yeah.
Very possible theories. Very possible.
Oh my gosh.
I want a fax machine now just to fax you guys ideas for the podcast.
You're going to go fax machine and beepers?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to go back to the 80s.
Yeah. Bring the 80s back. You
like, I want to know what we want to do next.
The last cameos is on the Zoom call. There's 4. Angela Lansbury.
Oh, yes.
Stephen Sondheim.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Sorry. Natasha Lyonne from Orange is the New Black.
I love that so much.
Who she will be starring in his next show or movie for Peacock or something. So that's why she got involved. So those are all the cameos.
I thought the Zoom call was cool because both Angela Lansbury and Stephen Sondheim are dead. That was the last thing that they did before they passed away.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I had no idea.
Allie, my wife, was like, oh. Like, when she saw her, she's like, Angela Lansbury, like, excited. Also, did you guys, hold on here really quickly. I've been listening to a podcast that was recorded during the pandemic, and they talked about doing, like, Zoom games with friends and buddies. Did you guys get on and do that kind of stuff?
We did a couple for work.
Yeah.
I didn't just get on with my friends and do that kind of stuff, though. Like, I don't remember.
We did Among Us, I think, once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never did that, though. That's what's funny.
There was a lot of those Easter eggs or pandemic Easter eggs in this. Like, Hugh Grant was wearing, like, a tie-dye apron. Tie-dye got really big during the pandemic.
It got huge.
Those internet games got really big.
Among Us.
Oh, because they literally played Among Us in the movie, right?
Yeah. He played Among Us.
I was like, hold up.
But, like, he was baking as well, wasn't he? Like, baking bread, I think.
Yeah. Well,
it was sourdough bread, which I read on, like, as I was doing my research on this. Apparently making sourdough got really popular during the pandemic.
I made so many types of sourdough during the pandemic.
That didn't
25 pounds. I had more time to bake bread, so I baked, like, 2 loaves a day instead of, like, 1 a week.
Sorry, you were saying, kid?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, seeing kind of all of those pandemic things in, like, an actualized movie was kind of interesting. Like, at the beginning, when they first start receiving the boxes, and Catherine Hahn's character's like, oh, shit. And, like, I forgot. It's because it was, like, so quick. Like, that just called me back. I was like, oh, yeah, she's one of those types of people. Like, you got to know because, like, of the pandemic, like, these types of characters so early because of, I think, those associations.
Yes. What a great transition, Cade. We are killing it tonight. This is the first COVID movie where I haven't like been like, oh, I don't want to think about COVID. You know, like I think it worked so well for this one, just the time period and everything. It wasn't rubbing it in your face, but it did so much to establish each one of these characters without saying a thing about them. Yep. Like that mask scene that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
The spray in the dude's mouth, like it's all flash. It probably doesn't even work, but it just says so much about his character, about Miles Braun being like this flashy guy who thinks he's got the cure for everything. That probably didn't do anything, you know? Yeah, but he's running around like saying like, oh no, I got the cure.
Because this was supposedly like a couple months, like 2 or 3 months into like when COVID was like happening, mm-hmm. right? And so like they're there and he's like, oh yeah, don't worry. Like we've got it. Like this won't be available for everyone, but.
And even then, like, when Birdie was, like, having her party, somebody, like, said something about it. Like, are you having a party? And she's like, oh, don't worry. They're all in my bubble. And it's just, like, that classic, like, celebrity line that, like, they all did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have missed a cameo there. Yo-Yo Ma was in that scene, too.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one who, like, came over and, like, explained the box to
her. Oh, I didn't know that was him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah, so every one of the characters is wearing a different mask in that scene, and it says so much. Like, you got the spray for Miles, who doesn't, you know, he's all flash. You have Lionel, the scientist, who's wearing, like, the big, effective N95 mask that will, like, really keep the germs out. You got Claire, whose mask is, like, always falling off her nose. And it's like each one of these characters, you're like, I know that person. Oh, I know that person. You know, you don't even have to, like, by experiencing it, we all know.
The birdies.
The net one was the one that got me. I was like, oh, my God.
Right? It drives you crazy. You see that. You're just like, what is the point? Like, it's just fashion. And I remember thinking, I've seen these people.
You've seen these people in the street. And then up comes Motorcycle Man and, like,
Duke and Whiskey.
Yeah, Duke and Whiskey. No mask. Right. No.
given.
Who are on Twitch just gaming and just like saying that it doesn't exist. Yeah. You know, like, oh, I loved it. It's such a cool way to like explain someone without saying anything. I just thought it was a fantastic scene, fantastic mechanism of storytelling or world building, you know?
So, yeah, true.
Also, the fact that they all like show up individually in a group and they're all standing there on the dock was pretty cool. I do want to say, though, really quickly, going back to Science Guy and like his masks and stuff like that, I love the introduction of Science Guy. He was my favorite. I forget what that guy's
name. So his name is Lionel.
Lionel.
Here. Yeah. That's how I can remember him. But I think it's a trope on our podcast at this point that we're just like, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, some guy with some
Science nickname. Guy.
I also want to highlight Shrek's mask from Shrek 1 when he was wearing the helmet. His, unfortunately, wasn't a proper mask for this. It had slits down the front. So, but luckily, his head was protected as well. But no, Lionel, anyhow, like getting back to that, I loved like his setup, how he's in a giant warehouse, which happened to a lot of like tech people. Actually, like Elon Musk lived in the warehouse at Tesla inside of like a little teeny, like this is an actual company called a Boxable. He bought a Boxable, built it inside of the Tesla Gigafactory. That's where he was staying during the pandemic.
He'd like sleep on the couch, right?
Yeah, tech bros do that all the time. So it's like a very interesting also call out and kind of comparison to like what a lot of those innovators or whatever, what disruptors.
Disruptors.
The disruptors.
I don't know.
Well, and I honestly... I was going to say, like, the scene where they are showing each person's location and how they go about solving the box puzzles, I thought was really interesting because you got to see, it did a mix to see, like, a little bit more who these characters are and establishing them, but then also understanding, like, what their role, I think, is going to be throughout the movie. Because, like, shout out to David Batista's mom, like in that movie where she's the one that solves them all. But like, yeah, but
it's a stenogram. Mom, you can't talk while I'm streaming.
I just love that they made him out to be like, even though, you know, because it can be like a very, very much like a stereotype, right? Like if you like stream on Twitch, you like live in your mom's basement or stuff like that. But they made him out to be like a successful Twitch streamer, but I guess he just still like lives with him, his mom, like whatever. Him and his girlfriend, they're just still.
Like, I mean, everyone, like so many people moved home to be with their families during that time because a lot of people.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Like his pod.
Yeah, that was his like his pod. So maybe he.
Him, his mom, and whiskey.
Yeah.
And probably some whiskey too.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of whiskey in the house.
But yeah, like it was kind of just like going back to the thing. Like it was a good flashback, and I think it was a healthy flashback. So I really like the call out. Like, and I didn't dread it.
I loved that whole scene too. That the intro, how they cut everybody's storylines together with like cool, like they split the screen up a little bit, so everyone's doing a little thing and.
Well, what was cool is it was like it was a FaceTime call, right? And then like there were two on the top, one on the side, and then. As they were piecing it together, how it was like sliding and shuffling differently. As
yeah, it was cool to watch.
Also, those puzzle boxes are so cool. I've never wanted to get into puzzles more in my whole life.
I would have loved to see, and obviously for the purpose of the movie that's already like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something was its runtime. Like, I feel like what they did in that scene was perfect. But it showed just like a quick little like montage as they were finishing it of just like doing a ton of stuff. And there was so much in there. And I was like, I would love to see all of these puzzles like get solved little by little. Like that'd be so cool. But ultimately, since I'm not as smart, I would have taken Janelle Monáe's approach.
A hammer?
Just smash it. Just, I mean, hey, I'll get in still. Like you got your invitation. I got my invitation. Like, just like we're the same. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you guys think? Who was your favorite character in this whole series?
I'll probably say Helen until the end when everything starts like going to shit, because I think that she does an insane job of like pretending to be her like rich bitch sister, and she does a really good job of like making decisions on the fly and just kind of going with it and. Really, like, honestly, hunting throughout the house for clues and stuff like that. It was only at the end when things start burning and she's, like, just trying to trash everything because she's upset that I was like, okay, like, all right. But other than that, like, I think she was probably my favorite character. But I don't know. I actually did really like Edward Norton's Fight Club character, so.
Yeah. I would agree. I really liked Edward Norton, and I really liked Benoit Blanc in this one. I liked how his approach was, like, if we're comparing it to the first one, right? Like, he was still an integral part of the series, which was good, like the movie, but he's kind of like more off the back from what we can see until they kind of unfold the backstory that's happening on the other side with the death of the sister and so much.
So of the new characters, I definitely like what Dave Bautista did. I thought it was really smart, and just, and his character was so, not like relatable, but it's like you knew, right? And we talked about that with like the masking and everything. You could kind of tell the types of personalities people had. I like Dave Bautista for the new characters, but I still think Daniel Craig and Benoit Blanc just stole the show. He's just like so good. And right when we find out his real intentions of being there and stuff like that, stuff that he did previously in the movie, like, makes more sense, right? Like when he went to talk to Miles, right, and he was like, oh, a bunch of children's games, like he wasn't like, because at first when you watch that, you thought that he really was just like that good, and Miles is like, oh well, crap. But he was like doing it purposely to kind of, you know, get in and kind of edge him on and stuff like that, so that all of this stuff could happen.
Also, really quick, Catherine Hahn's character, I thought she was really good.
I just love Catherine Hahn.
I do too. I love her so much.
She's fantastic.
I wrote last night after the movie ended, love this cast. Catherine Hahn's the best. Bautista was great. Kate Hudson even better. Ned Norton is a favorite, and Daniel Craig is so much fun to watch, especially when he's not James Bond.
Yes.
So real. Apparently I loved everybody in this movie.
All-star cast, and I feel like they all played their roles perfectly, and it was a good time. Like I said, I definitely was like less impressed by it than the first one, and I know we haven't talked about the first one, and we don't have to yet if you guys don't want to, but I was just wondering which one you like more.
I'll go first because I don't remember the first one. I remember the clue that gives away who did it, but I don't remember who did it or how they got there. So I like this one better because I don't remember the first one.
Fair. I like the first one better, in all honesty. But I would, like, not to be weird, but I'd put this movie in regular rotation just so I have the other one. I think the difference in this one was it was more out of touch for me, right? Like, they're both about people who are from wealthy family type thing, like they have wealth, money type thing. But this one was like, I've never flown off to a private island with my buddies. Yeah. And the other one was like going to grandpa's house and something weird happens there. And that's why it's more relatable and something could have happened. We played a lot of games at my grandparents' house, so who knows? That might also be why.
I think the first one is better as well, because I agree. It's a little bit more relatable and understandable. And I also like the breakdown of, like, grandpa died. Like, who is it? You know, because everybody wants their piece of the money. Here, it was like, you didn't blame anybody. Like, you knew that Edward Norton's character was a douchebag the entire time. So, like, if anyone, like, I never cared about his character because I knew that he was the bad guy from the beginning. Having said that, I still did like the movie. And while, like, obviously it's been discussed that this is, you know, it's a sequel, but it's trying to be a standalone. It really is a standalone. You don't need to see the first one to understand, for the most part, what's going on in this movie. But yeah, I definitely like the first one better.
Yeah, agreed. With Kate talking about that, it was something that I thought about during the movie. I have a super fun drinking game if you want to die of alcohol poisoning. It's called Every Time They Say Golden Teat or Holding On to That Money, You Take a Shot. So, because it was like multiple times they were like, hanging on to that golden tea. Like, and I was just like, again? Like,
or golden titties.
That's like literally what they said multiple times. I thought it was hilarious, though. It was so funny, but.
That's a great idea. I actually haven't played a drinking game in a movie in a long time. So, you know, maybe I'll be dead next time you see me because I drank too much.
No.
I'm kidding.
I didn't come up with this if the police asked.
No, it was all a joke. But I also think that what was really cool about this comparing the first and the second movie, going back to that really quickly, I also like the flashback that it gave me to those years of COVID, like early COVID and time for early COVID, but also the fact that I was like breathing a little easier because we weren't in that anymore when they were like doing that. Like, I remember rolling my eyes at first when we saw masks, actually. Like, I was kind of like, oh, fudge. Yeah, it was kind of irritating. And then they're like, they get the spray and they don't have to wear it. Because, like, I think about with mask stuff and pandemic stuff, I think about all those cheesy Zoom videos that all the wealthy people made during this time, too. They would sing songs, and kumbaya the rest of us, so it was fine.
Imagine.
Yeah. On their mansions.
Did you guys solve it before the movie ended? And if not, who did you suspect before the big reveal?
So, can I give my answer?
Yeah.
No, but I was weirdly suspicious of the Janelle Monáe's character, and here's why.
Of Andy?
Yeah, of Andy, because, like, one, I got why she was being kind of, like, bitchy and stuff like that. Like, standoffish maybe is a better word to say there because of what happened with the court case as they unfold it. However, I thought it was weird that Andy's character just smashed the box at the first and that her, like, and I'm not saying anything about the way anyone does her because I have the lamest, straightest, whitest hair of all time, so I've never had to, like, take any extra hair steps to get my hair done. But the hair was vastly super different. And I know that that type of hair takes a long time to change and adjust. And so I was like, even like if, for instance, Andy wore a wig or something like that, like her hair would not just be naturally that curly and looking that way, because I have plenty of friends and relatives who actually do, who have the African-American hair. And so I'm like, that was where I was a little suspicious. But other than that, I didn't call it. I was just like, oh, I'm suspicious.
Her through the whole thing.
Yeah, I was kind of like paying attention. But I also, just so you guys know, I didn't read any spoilers. I actually didn't even, I only watched the original teaser trailer for this. So yeah. I knew nothing about this film going into it.
That's why I thought Ed Norton was going to die through the whole thing.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to die.
As we got to the end and Ed Norton wasn't dead, I wouldn't say that like I solved it because I didn't. But I was definitely like, as we got to the end and he wasn't dead, I was like, okay, well, this is kind of looking a little weird for him. Most of the movie, if I'm honest, I was sus of Birdie J, of... Kate Hudson's character.
Good
because,
call out to the Among Us.
Because she's very like ditzy and very vocal and just kind of says whatever she wants, right? Which, by the way, one of my favorite lines from the movie from Benoit Blanc, right? It's like, do not mistake speaking freely with speaking the truth or something like that. Like, I thought it was a really smart line. But it's like those people who are like so like ditzy and just always talking and stuff like that, you know, that they're like that. That's like their personality, and they can act and they can seem like so unintelligent a lot of the times, but you know that they're not always like that, right? Like, yes, she's like super ditzy and stuff like that, but you know, like, yeah, she's still famous and yeah, she has good looks and stuff like that, but you know that there's got to be something going on in there, right? And so because of that, I was like, I'm kind of sus because she's just being like way too like over the top with that, but I guess she just was, I guess. So
really quickly,
Yo-Yo Ma just gonna chill.
My favorite part of Birdie was when the sweatshop comment comes up, like,
sounds great.
Emoji,
Yeah. You didn't think that sweatshops made sweatpants, did you?
Sorry, I just had to call that out. I know we're talking about breakdowns, but like that moment, I literally was like cringe laughing because you're like, no! Just like that. And you're like, you're just laughing as it's happening. You're like, I don't know why this is sad and funny all at once. But yeah, that's.
I actually really like the Knives Out writing style because I feel like at the beginning of the movie, I always kind of get a feel for who it's at. And in the first movie, I thought, yep, it's Chris Evans. He's the killer. It's the one that makes the most amount of sense. And in this one, because Edward Norton kind of brought everybody, I thought he was the serial killer too. But they do such a good job of like gaslighting you in the movie of like, no, it's actually not this person. So that I completely change my mind. And at the end, it always is that person. So like, just like the same thing with Edward Norton and the glass where like, they showed us straight that he handed it to Dave Bautista, but then like they spend such like a long time talking about it and how he picked it up that you just like, okay, yep, he must have picked it up on his own. So like the way that they go about that kind of reminds me of just the style of writing in general, because I had an idea at the beginning of the movie and then I completely ignored it for the rest of the movie until obviously it was revealed and I was like, oh shit, I was right.
It was a weird, yeah. Like, that moment, right? Gaslighting you, playing telephone, if it were, like, trying to change the narrative. What an interesting piece of that. Because it's like, I was in great belief of that, actually. I was like, wait, yeah, no, he grabbed the wrong glass. Like, it was right there, yeah.
I do that same thing every time I watch these movies. I'm like, oh, it's him. And then like 5 minutes later, no, it's definitely him. But I didn't expect it was Miles, because I thought that would be too obvious, you know, kind of a thing. I do that a lot in these movies. I'm like, oh no, they wouldn't be that person. That's way too obvious of a thing, you know? And then I always convince myself that it's not the character. I was suspecting Catherine Hahn for a long time through the movie, because I was watching it trying to pick out, you know, the subtle things that someone could have done. And there was a moment, in the scene before Bautista died that she bumps into him. And like awkwardly, they like go out of their way to show this moment of her like bumping into him and kind of like looking up at him and like falling away kind of a thing. I was like, that's it. That's when she stole the gun, you know?
I got it.
Catherine Hahn, it's got to be her. And so I tried to do what I don't always do, and I just committed. don't give up.
Change.
Just commit to this one person. Then you're either going to be wrong, or otherwise you're going to go through five different people. Just think it's her and then enjoy the ride, you know, kind of a thing. And of course, I was proven completely wrong.
Also, she's a politician, so I was kind of expecting, expecting like some sort of like from the politician, like, oh yeah, this story can't get out; it'll ruin my career.
All I know is I'm definitely, you know, I'm going to be powering my home with clean from now on. Definitely.
Oh, boom. That is such an interesting part, though. Like the idea of these alternative fuels, because we're obsessed with those right now in tech and in society. Like, how can we get away from blank, blank, blank? Boom, glass house. Busted.
That's something that's Hindenburg. Interesting about his movies is these murder mysteries that turn into big action blockbusters at the end. Like, wasn't there like a big chase scene in Knives Out or something?
There
too?
Was in a little car like Josh has.
Yes.
The Hyundai. The little Hyundai car.
Yeah, it is.
In the first one. Yeah.
That I had.
Rest in peace.
Nice. Do we all need
a
moment?
We did it.
Moment of silence.
Oh, should we link hands? Oh wait, we couldn't do this. I'm in the middle. Dang it. But you know, like, just a moment of silence for Josh's cars.
Do you want to do the rewind?
Most rewindable moment for me would be the explosion. To be honest with you, that was a pretty cool scene. I don't like the deep destruction of Janelle Monáe's character, but I like the. And that was cool.
The explosion itself, and then the justice that she gets at the end.
Yeah, and also the moment where he brings up her drink and he's like, whiskey blank, I hope that's still your thing. I forget
whiskey
what
cola.
That. Whiskey cola. Whiskey cola. Yeah, whiskey soda.
Whiskey soda. That's what
yeah, I was like, that was like a really rewindable moment for me. But then also all the moments with the friend. Sorry, there's a lot of them for me, but all the moments with the random guy. Oh, don't mind me. I want to be that guy.
I think my most rewindable moment from the show is when she gets shot and you don't know that she's gonna
survive, that was good,
right? Because it leaves you questioning for so long, because she gets shot and you're just like, oh no, and then that's when it does the rewind. That's when it does the rewind to show you like why he's actually there and her coming to her, and you find out that the real Andy's dead, blah, 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 right? And it does all this stuff, and they keep talking about how dangerous it is, but she's like, no, I'm gonna go, and all this stuff, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is so dumb, she shouldn't have come because she's dead. And so like, I really like when she got shot, because it was shot really well, how it all ended up. It was suspenseful and stuff, and it really set up the next scene really well. And then you found out that she didn't actually die. Boom, just kidding. But that was my most rewarding moment.
Also, can we talk about, from that moment, the Jeremy Renner's hot sauce all over her body, how painful that must have been?
Dripping into her nose.
Yeah, dripping into her nose.
Oh, my gosh.
What was the point? I didn't understand the point of Daniel Craig's character putting it in his eyes. Like, at first, I thought he was trying to make him cry,
emotions.
And then he didn't.
Yeah,
good, though.
It's supposed to make him look puffy and a little bit sad.
Yeah,
I was actually, because when it first showed it, before you knew that he had done that, I saw that he was emotional, and obviously you knew that they had, like, planned kind of this stuff, but, like, when you saw it, I was a little taken aback that he was so emotional, right? I was like, what? Like, why, though? But then it explains it a little.
It made sense to me.
I don't have a small TV, like, necessarily, but the way that, like, Dave Bautista's character was when he got out of the pool before you realized it was a gun, I straight up thought, he had a banana hammock in for like a special sling. And I was like, what is going on here? And then he fires the gun and I'm, oh, okay, okay. But yeah, at that moment I was wanting to rewind and see what I was seeing.
Wanting to rewind.
Very good. I'm telling you.
Bautista, man.
I'll pause, that's rewind, the new swing. And replay that banana hammock.
Bobo.
Bobo. Giggity, giggity, goo.
And vids.
I love the reveals of these kind of movies because, like I said, I suck at them. So the reveal of who actually did it, I'm always like, oh, of course. And so, of course, with this one, it's the same thing.
Could you do that face one more time? Really?
I don't know what I did.
You're like, oh, of course.
The Home Alone?
Yeah, like pretty much.
You take a picture for our YouTube channel, really.
You just look like the happiest.
The next thumbnail.
Yeah, like the happiest those like person ever. Yeah.
Vince didn't know the ending.
Crazy twist.
But those are always my favorite. When everyone comes together and everyone's like, Jacuse! You know, and they're like,
Jacuse!
And they all figure it out and they all have their big reveal moment climax. I think that's my favorite of this one, too. All of them in that one room, Ed Norton like freaking out. Not the actual like freak out when she's breaking stuff, but when they're like,
and then they all die.
What actually happened?
Well, the best is like when the power goes out and he's like squealing and running around. Yeah, that was great.
When he's really just trying to hide that he has the gun and phone in his pocket. What a good way to do it. You know, like, oh no, everyone's trying to kill me. I have to get away from
also,
everybody.
I didn't notice they had the phone, but apparently I should have rewound this.
It's in his back pocket.
Yeah,
you can
like
see
you didn't
it.
Notice
he
this.
Does. So there's a scene where he runs behind Benoit Blanc, uh-huh. And he turns around and grabs him from behind like this, and you can uh-huh. see the phone in his back pocket in that moment. Oh. If you watch him for it.
I wasn't looking at
his
butt.
It'd be fun to go back and like watch the movie knowing who it is and seeing all those moments where you're just like, I should have known. I should have got this.
I think that's why.
Smarter than this.
I think that's why the first one to me is so rewatchable, because you see something a little bit different every time.
Because
you remember it differently, right? And you know it's kind of going to happen. This one I think will be the same way, so I'm excited to watch it again.
See, I always think to myself, why am I ever going to watch this again? I already know the ending, but I think that's the reason right there.
I don't know about this, but I have like a thing where for at least a year or so after I get the movie, I'll watch it a couple of times just because I want to and to like see the movie from like a knowing perspective, a little bit more knowing perspective, but a perspective that's also kind of forgotten a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the clear, like, energy thing at the end of the movie when she like throws it and it explodes and you see like Benoit Blanc and the bum character like sitting outside, I straight up thought that she killed everybody. I thought everybody was dead, and then it seems like a cartoon thing where like there was this massive explosion but they all just have like a little dust on their face. I think was a little, I don't know,
that was a little right. That was a little cartoony, but I think based around maybe the product having, like, depending on the type of explosion, it would, that certain point of gust would just push them back and knock them out of space.
Put on your science hat. Science with Casey.
Science with Casey! Da, 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 da,
our newest segment.
I know nothing about science. I claim to not be a scientist. This is just an opinion. And so, I'm not a scientist.
I am a scientist, and I am an expert on a very specific form of energy that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah, yeah. And it's only been about 46 hours or something that I've been pro at this. So I did a lot of late-night research deep into the night, and then somehow I also ended the night on Welsh rarebits. So there we go.
There you go. Did you have any other sections you wanted to go over?
No, that's it for me.
Okay. Final thoughts on Shrek. I mean, ogres have... the glass onion.
Lord Farquaad is a lot taller than he appears. And we've been giving him a lot of grief over the years. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, I love
he's
that.
He's got inches where it matters.
Oh, gosh. Ooh. No, I just want to call out, great costume, great story, and also a really healthy amount of, like, I think the music in this, like, kind of like the side music kind of as you're going along was very influential in helping you experience this from, like, a, like, going along. And I love how they call it Clue as well, how the guy hates Clue. But it also still felt like a clue because you're all together in a room doing things throughout the whole thing. So it was fun.
They all have their own outfits too. In the red with what?
The monkey wrench. The clear.
I liked it. I definitely did enjoy a lot of the character arcs and the character play and the way they set it up, like you said. And so maybe I'll consider the movie a little bit differently now because of what you said with these, you know, Knives Out and Rian Johnson with how he does it, stuff like that. It may be a little less about the actual murder mystery and reveal and stuff and a little more about how we get there with the characters and everything, because all of that is super enjoyable. Because obviously I loved, I mean, I'm sorry, I'll bring it back one more time, The White Lotus, and that's like all that that is, right? There's not really, like there kind of is, but there's not really these big like endings that are like super satisfying with The White Lotus, right? It's just all about the characters and what happens between them and how, like Kate said, they weave in and out of each other's stories. And so that part was super enjoyable. And so I don't know, maybe I'll, when I see this again, which I don't think I'm like Casey, I'll usually wait a couple years before I see a movie again, unless it's really good. Maybe when I see this again, I'll consider in a different light and I'll up my Letterboxd rating.
Oof.
I think I gave it a 4 out of 5.
You did?
On Letterboxd, yeah. And I still would. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I've already said that. And I don't usually say that about murder mystery movies, I don't think. I don't usually like, I don't know, maybe my opinion is of this genre has changed over time, but it could also be that I'm a really big Rian Johnson fan. I don't think he's made a movie that I haven't liked. So maybe it's just his storytelling, his writing, like you were saying, that just like makes me really enjoy what he does. I'm looking forward to whatever he does next, even though it's on Peacock and I don't want to get Peacock.
Can you get like a free version of Peacock?
I don't know. I just don't even bother.
Just come to my house and watch it.
All right, deal.
All right. Done. Perfect. Cade.
I really liked it. I think I gave it a 3.5, but only because like I don't know if Jeremy Renner's hot sauce exists actually in real life. And so it kind of gave me damn. I really did like it. I think, like I said, the ending felt a little forced. But other than that, I thought it was a beautiful cast, like incredible storytelling, how they weaved in and out of each other. And then like a really good, like, side commentary on how the world is today, both like with the pandemic, but also with billionaires. Yeah, I liked it a lot. There was also like just a few little call outs, like on the billionaire thing. Like at one point when when Edward Norton is talking with Janelle Monáe's character, he's dressed exactly like a Steve Jobs type thing. And so it was like, there was like Steve Jobs and Elon Musk and like all of these other things. And so you could tell they were trying to say something about billionaires and just kind of social commentary in general. So I did. I liked it. And I appreciated you guys having me on again for this podcast. It was a good movie to be on for.
We're definitely happy to have you, and also thankful to Vince for setting it up with the board so that we could have you and it gets integrated so seamlessly into the podcast. So
crossing your fingers that next time I'll be able to figure out how to get your actual like video footage that we're looking at onto the screen. Maybe in the meantime, we'll just have to send me a picture of you like, so whenever you're talking, it'll pop up.
Sounds good.
No, what we need we need to take a screenshot of him right here and then do like those, the cut on the mouse. And then just put up.
Not even matching the words. Yeah.
Just going.
It's like the
really
South Park thing.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. That's what I want right there. South Park.
I'll see what I can do.
No, guys, thank you so much for putting this together, Vince, as always, and for picking the film. I don't know who chose this film, but. Thank you.
I think I did just because we were wanting to do one before the year wrapped up, because I think maybe not the next one, but pretty soon here we're going to be doing our best films of 2022. And this is definitely one that I wanted to watch before I made said list.
I'll give you my top film of 2022. Are you ready?
No, because the year's not over, and I know that you haven't finished the best film of 2022 yet.
The Puss in Boots sequel?
I was going to say Avatar, Way of Water.
Does Shrek make a cameo in that movie?
He does, actually.
Really?
Does he really?
He's dancing in the bottom of the ocean, like just like
you
this.
Just can't see it.
But he has his mask on.
Oh, I'm in a different movie than you are.
I did too. I was thinking Puss in Boots. I was like, oh, you actually saw it. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, and he's dancing underwater. I was like, wait, what? Shrek underwater? What?
Oh my gosh. Well, anyhow, thank you guys for tuning in to the Pause Where I Play podcast. Kate, thank you for your time tonight. We appreciate it. And catch us everywhere podcasts can be found, and on YouTube, and in your grandma's basement. And we'll catch you next time.